The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode, of TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode, of TVISA with Ashley Ray.
Welcome to TVISA with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. This was a big TV week. It was like our Super Bowl in terms of television. There are so many series finales to talk about. We got Barry, Yellow Jackets, and those are the ones that barely matter, because what really does matter is Succession. And there's so much to talk about. And who better to help me discuss the Roys, who I would say is a family of scammers. Just, you know, it was scams the whole Absolutely. Time. Scams on scams. So I had to bring the host of Scam Goddess, Lacey Mosley.
Hey.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Hi. I'm so excited to do your show. You've been on mine a few times. Yes. You are a fan favorite. Not Sean King's favorite. He hates
yes,
us.
Yes, not Sean King's favorite. We are both blocked on every platform.
On every platform. I think he might have me blocked on Venmo. Like the man was thorough.
Yeah. Like Facebook, everything. He's very thorough. Like
my
Google
space.
Calendar. I'm blocked.
Friendster.
Like, yeah. But that did not stop either of us from finding out the news that he does have a new scam in the works yes. already. He now has like a medical issue and is asking for the donations.
He said he has nerve pain and they're doing some special procedures that aren't covered by insurance. So yes. my neck and my back, I swear to God, I'm black.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And yeah, his t-shirt company, they didn't provide insurance. So the bill's on us to help Sean out. So
y'all should have bought more hoodies and then yeah. Sean would have had more insurance.
Would have had insurance.
That's on us. Should have
thought about that. That's on us. Well, I'm sure there will be plenty of more scams from Sean King to discuss in the future. Today, we are focused on the Roy family. Before we dive in, I do want to remind you that the WGA is still on strike. Mm-hmm. Something that matters to both of us so much. And you can still donate to Hollywood crew members in need at entertainmentcommunity.org. So if you watched Succession and right. you enjoyed it, it was written by writers.
Writers. That wasn't actors doing improv. As
no.
much as actors love, look, I'm an actor. And I got to say, I was doing press recently. Oh, I can't be too specific because then you're going to know what it is. But like, I was sitting with other castmates and one of them was like, you know, we do a lot of improv on the show. The person who's probably never done any improv on the show. I do improv, but even I yeah. wouldn't say that publicly because it's true, but like I wouldn't have anything to improv off of if I didn't have writers. And I can guarantee well to you shows like Succession and Better Call Saul, they ain't letting them go do a fun one. They
yeah.
are word
they
perfect.
They aren't doing a funny one.
I okay. was on Better yeah. Call Saul and if I mixed up and with a or if I said is and it was, you know, something yeah. else, the script coordinator, right up on my ass. Hey, girl.
Wait, excuse me.
So you said they, but it's really them. And we need that. I was like, yeah, okay, my bad.
Yeah, okay. Jeremy Strong is word perfect. He is not improvising.
Right.
He's
not doing a little diddle. Okay.
No, come on.
All of
look
that
at
is
that
planned
man.
By yeah. writers.
I think if you said to Jeremy Strong, do a funny one, his brain would collapse on itself. Like he would just fold inward like a black star.
I love that. He's like, I've been preparing for months these three lines and how I'm going to like look
I'm going to do it.
And move my throat. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not doing a little fun one.
A little fun. No, no. What is fun? What Kendall doesn't do fun. No, guys.
No.
This is also your warning. There's going to be spoilers today. Obviously, we're getting into the Succession finale. If you didn't watch it, if you plan to watch it in the future, this isn't the episode for you. Sorry. The rest of us, let's get into it. Whew.
And also, this was our Super Bowl. I just have to have a petty little moment up here. Yeah. I saw a lot of people on Twitter being like, people are posting about secession and not putting spoilers. I was like, babes,
yeah,
sweetums.
It's our Super Bowl. It came out. You knew this was going to happen. And you avoid social media until you've watched. I didn't open Twitter the entire episode. I was like, wait, when we're ready to go, we're ready. So I'm sorry. I have no sympathy. No,
I had to do a show. And I gouged my eyes a little bit so I wouldn't get on Twitter.
See, yeah, you just have to ignore every single thing. I had my chats like all muted. I was like, no, nothing's getting spoiled for me that matters. But like to me, Twitter, like that's, I don't know. Those aren't spoilers to me anymore. Like someone could literally be like in season 4 of Yellow Jackets, they eat this person exactly. And I'd be like, okay, I'm still going to watch it. Like,
yeah, same. But that's how I feel. I don't need the surprise. I'm like, the ride is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
What a ride.
And what a ride. A lot of people are saying the biggest kind of spoiler was Tom's Whamsgams. There was a TikToker who was like, the last name Whamsgams belongs to a baseball player from Cincinnati who like pitched out 3 people. And that's exactly what Tom's going to do. And it is what Tom did. But then the writers had to be like, we hate to ruin everyone's fun. We had no idea about this baseball player. We just thought it was a weird sounding Midwest name. And it belonged to someone like on the cast. Their relative had that last name. And we were like, yeah, that sounds weird compared to Roy. And it just happened to work out that way.
See, I'm taking that to my grave. If somebody does a numerology chart with lots of red string, and then they were like, remember, it's like a little bit based off King Lear. So, you know, the character that wins in the end of King Lear, he was
Edgar. Roy means king.
But he was in disguise as Poor Tom.
As Poor Tom.
First name is Tom.
I would have just been like, you guys got it. You nailed it. Like, I was...
I would have put that to myself, to my grave. I would have been like, wow, y'all really see how my depth.
And, yeah, like, wow, you got, yeah, we really plotted that out over, you know, like 8 years. We really did that work. And also the like, Shiv is a knife, blah, blah, blah. And then they were just like, oh, we had an assistant in the writer's room whose name was Shiv. And it's just
okay,
like,
they really gonna tell us Siobhan wasn't nothing.
Right.
Her nickname was Shiv the whole Shiv, time. And all she did was stag people in the back.
Oh, the whole time. Every single person. That was really the only thing she was kind of good at because she wasn't good at anything else.
Okay, listen, you turn your back for a second. Shiv got the knife.
Shiv's like, let's go. Shiv's like, doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the boardroom. Shiv is like, you know what? I gotta stab it back.
Right. She sees a cheese board and a vertebrae. It's over.
It's
she
over.
Wasn't even planning to stab that back.
No.
But...
She thought she was on her team. No, she's not. And so it is Shiv's massive final backstab that gives Tom the CEO position under Mattson. He's the CEO of Waystar Royco US. Now that the Gojo deal has gone through, thank God we can stop talking about the Gojo deal.
Because that was such a goofy ass name. If I had to hear the word Gojo again.
Gojo one more time. Oh, I just did not get. Okay, the Gojo deal. Now we are. It's put to rest. How do you feel about Tom being our top dog?
For me personally, like obviously there was not going to be any black people on the show except for Kendall's assistant, who he never knew was black.
No. I think if you asked, he'd be like, Middle Eastern.
I can't work here no more. And she was like, and he was like, why not?
She was like,
she was basically trying to be like, Kendall, I'm black.
I'm
like,
black, you just, Kendall.
You just put Trump in office. Like, y'all was racist before, but now y'all like super extra
super,
mega.
Super racist.
You know, Voltron like, racist. I have to leave.
Like Roman is coming in the election room and saying like no blacks and Jews, like it's not really funny anymore.
Like y'all have turned into the Klan, like the Klan Corp. Like I can't work here no more. But so the only person we had closest to a minority is like someone in a different class, like working there. So to see Tom pull up and beat all the unserious rich people, because at the end of the day, when I was looking at Tom, I was like, oh, right. He was the only one who really like had a job.
Yeah, like he's been working since day one. And this whole season, the man slept like one time. Like,
right. Tom was filling out spreadsheets. You know, he was reading the numbers.
He's in the office. He's doing coke to make sure work gets done. Like, he is doing the CEO work.
He's on the floor. People know who he is.
Yes.
Because like when Logan came to the floor, everyone froze up because it's like they have an idea of who he is. But when he was coming up to people's desks, like, what you doing over there? They were like, who are you?
Who are you? Like, what? And Tom is the one who's just there like, hey, everybody. Hey, I got this.
Right.
Like, hey, you know, everybody knows me. I'm Tom.
And then they made fun of him for that. They're like, oh, this social butterfly here. And it's like, no, he's doing the job of the company.
Y'all
know like the company got to run, right?
Yeah. And like when you compare that to when Roman was in the pit on the election night and just like being like, I don't care, call this, yelling at people, straight up just telling the like news anchors to commit perjury and
everybody break the law. You blinded, start breaking the law.
Tell them to burn a house down in Milwaukee. And they're just like, okay, Roman, if that's what you want, sounds like a good deal. I love that Tom came out on top. I wanted it to be Tom pretty much the whole time, but like I knew this season when he was on the plane with Logan when Logan died and Roman like decided to go to the wedding instead and none of the siblings were there. I was just like, Tom is the one who was with him. And the fact that Logan had at that point like paired up with Tom to screw Shiv over, I was like, that's his boy. Like, he has taken Tom under his wing. Like, he's saying, like, screw my own daughter. I don't care. Tom, here's all the best lawyers.
Right. That was a trash move, but that was also Logan paying Tom back because, you know, in the previous season, the kids were trying to screw Logan over, and Tom brought his ass right on over to Logan's house and said, hey, Logan.
Hey, Logie.
Let me tell you what your kids over there doing right now.
Okay, and you got to get this together.
Right. But Tom always was straightforward. No one listened to him. He said you hoard information and you wait till it's the best time to use it against people. He also said you stay closest to the person who has the most power. So I don't know why the siblings ever thought they could tell Tom shit because y'all were never the people with the most power. Logan was. So Logan was always going to tell Logan.
He was always going to tell Logan. Tom has never believed in his wife or those children. Like, he has never been like, oh, Shiv, you're a genius and whatever you do, I support you. No, even in her political career, he was just like, if you want to give that up, it kind of makes sense. You're not very good at it. Like,
also, to just have an entire career and give it up and then just go insert yourself into your daddy's company with no experience.
With no
and then
experience.
Think that you should be the one to be the CEO. I want that kind of audacity.
I want that.
I want that level of delusion. I want to live up there with you. What plan are we on?
When Shiv said, Mattson believed in me after Mattson fired her without telling her and hired her husband, I was like, really, Shiv? Really?
Can I just say, there's one huge crux for me with the Mattson situation, which is that Siobhan, baby girl, sis, babes, sit down, hold my hand, walk with me, talk with me. So this man, who definitely does not respect women, like does not respect them at all, like has gone to new ways to find different new misogynies that we've never heard of before. Like,
he's getting doctors involved.
Like, he's got vials, and you know, he put it on ice. He's sending his blood to a woman.
You don't just do that by yourself. Like, you got to get a team involved. You're ordering ice packs. That's a whole situation.
This is not a Ziploc situation. Like, this is like he had to go get, you know, the technology to be a misogynist. Yeah. You know, he went to the medical store and was like, I really hate women so much that I need to get new technology.
I need to creep out my PR person, Eva.
Right. Like, sexual harassment ain't enough no more.
It's not enough anymore. Like,
I'm sending her blood.
Okay. I've threatened to fire her at parties like 10 times. It's over.
I got to send her blood. Now, you think that same man is going to respect you as a woman? He's
as
already started sexualizing you. He's already saying sexual inappropriate stuff to you. He didn't even respect you enough to lie about sending blood to another woman.
Girl. And then the second he found out you were pregnant, he was like, oh, gross. Like, come on, girl.
Like, he was at your father's funeral and was like, ooh, you pregnant? Ooh.
Ew. Yeah, you know, that's not really, ooh, you're going to be too busy. And
that's so nasty.
That's so,
and you were like, I'll leave my baby. I'm just throw it at the fire station. I'm not even going to stop. I'm going to roll the window down.
And then the whole time she doesn't even realize that he's milking her for information about Tom with the whole like, oh, should we fire him? What do you think? And she's just like, well, Tom is perfect, actually. He's a recognizable face. He's a good guy who'll suck the biggest dick in the room. And that's all Mattson wants. Like, how does she not know that's all Mattson wants is the guy who will suck his dick the most?
Right. And how does she not realize, too, in that moment, how many other people has he asked you about, Siobhan? Just Tom?
Right.
Then I would start to wonder why he's so interested in Tom.
Why is he so interested?
But she was in her head thinking like, oh, it must be because he's my man.
Yeah, Mattson feels weird about it. And that's because she can't see the big picture. Mm-mm. To me, Siobhan, I know a lot of criticism came out afterwards where people were like, the show is misogynist because Shiv didn't win and she's a girl boss who should have come out on top. But it's like, to me, she was always like that racist white liberal girl boss who was like, yeah, I'll do whatever to get to the top. Like,
yeah, she was a racist white woman.
You want me to be a Republican? I'll be a Republican. You want me to pay off a sexual abuse survivor? I'll do that too. What do you need?
Because that's always how it is. Like, Siobhan's definitely the person who would go to a brunch where, you know, like maybe one black friend from college who's like 3 degrees away from her is there. And she'd be like talking to her about the oppression of black people and how it just sucks. Because those types of white liberals love to come in our black ass spaces and be like, oh my God, did you hear about this new thing that's bad that's happening to your people? And I'm like, bitch, why don't you have this kind of light conversation with white people?
With white
people. We know. I don't need you to remind me.
And that's 100% Shiv's energy. Like, Shiv is coming up to you like, oh my God, I just made a donation to BLM. Have you heard of Sean King? And you're just like, oh,
He's the best.
She's the best. He's the best. And she's just been evil the whole time, but mostly she also never had a plan work. Like, I was just like, what makes you think now, after every plan you've ever tried failed, that you should be CEO and should do this with Ken? Like, what? I want that kind of audacity.
I'm gonna go one step further. She never had a plan.
Good point.
And I'm going to take it three steps further. None of them ever had a plan.
No.
Tom Wamsgamsgams, he had some plans, plans.
Tom Wamsplans, because he had a plan from day one. He understands, like, old news is dying. They have to diversify. Like, even when Kendall and Roman had the crown for, like, 2 episodes, they were messing up. Roman first day is, like, firing women and getting, like, 10 lawsuits against the company. Like, Living Plus, Roman, like, Kendall, you're already lying about numbers day one. Like, okay, this is going to be a great run company.
Living Plus was a funny ass name. That's like, you don't have no types of products. You're just selling vibes.
Just vibes.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And what I mean by they never had a plan is that everything that they did throughout the course of these 4 seasons was completely reactionary.
Yeah.
They never actually knew what they wanted. They never were thinking about PPG until their daddy was thinking about PPG. They weren't thinking about Madison until daddy was thinking about Madison. They weren't thinking about, you know, bleeding Madison for more money until, you know, what's my homosexual icon?
Stewie.
I think is so hot. Stewie. They weren't thinking about that until Stewie's sexy ass came along and was like, we can get more coins.
We can get more money.
And then they were like, yeah, fuck dad. We're going to get more money at the karaoke bar. Like, you know, they never had a plan.
Never had a plan.
So I don't know why Siobhan thought.
Yeah. And the one time they did have a plan, it was the 100.
Which was what?
I love that they introduced it one episode, the first one of the season. And within 15 minutes of it being introduced, they're just like, I mean, you know, actually, I do think it's better that we buy Pierce. I do think.
Because the way they were describing it, they were like, it's a hub. It's synergy. Yeah,
It's going to change everything.
Unification.
Like, this is how we take dad
specificity.
Down.
Specificity. like, all these words, this big word burger that meant literally nothing. And as a scammer, I know when you stringing a bunch of words together and they don't mean nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call you on it. I've been on phone calls, like the Zoom calls with all the professionals talking at me, all professional legalese. And I'm like, baby, you don't know I have a marketing degree. And I'll just let them talk, get a 2-minute description of what they do. And then I'll be like, okay, so what do you actually do? Like, day to day, like when you open your laptop, what's the first email you're responding to? And what does it say? Like,
tell me
what you do. Don't throw these words at me thinking I'm gonna be scared.
No, because I'm not. Okay.
But that's all they did.
That's all they did.
Okay. But you know what? The real reason I think the internet is like going off about Siobhan and like calling it misogynistic is, one, Sarah Snook is that bitch, and she has a great ass, and I love everything about her, and, you know, we stan. This is the Snook Hive. Not the Shiv Hive, but the Snook Hive for
the
sure.
Snook Hive. I'm a Snookie. Love, love Snook, yeah.
But the other hand is that I think a lot of, ooh, I'm going to wake it up. I'm so sorry.
Come on.
But I think a lot of white women saw themselves in Shiv.
Yeah.
And then when they really had to look at what Shiv was very uncomfortable. They were like, oh no, that's not her.
That's like, not her. Oh no, she took the money and being a rich wife. But
she aligned herself with the patriarchy and she stood next to the oppressor because it made her more safe. That's not 56% of the America that definitely we know on record voted that way.
That voted that way. What? I'm shocked. I thought in that final moment, she would be like, Kendall, you're a murderer. And she would go straight to the police and get justice and make everything right. And it's like, what show are you watching?
Also, what a beautiful moment, because those people, just like these big ass corporations, they don't give a shit about poor people, about, you know, minorities, right? To the point where Siobhan could throw out that Kendall was a murderer as an excuse for why he shouldn't be CEO. And we all knew that she didn't feel very strong about
it. Yeah, it was truly just a last minute effort of like, well, you can't do it because murder.
Because remember that time that guy murdered or something?
Yeah.
And I love Kendall's response because that really had me, where he was like, wait, which one?
Which?
I was like, wait a minute, what?
That whole moment, I was like, wait, can we ask some more questions? Like, Roman, can we dig in here? Like, you said he murdered, and he said which, and that's not what he should say.
That should be I feel like we moved on too quickly from that.
Too quickly, because I absolutely think the way Logan helped Kendall hide that body, it wasn't the first time Kendall's done this.
Maybe a teenage murder.
It wasn't the first. I see a teenage murder for Kendall. Yeah. I see something, you know, a teen drinks too much, alcohol poisoning, death, they bury him in the backyard. Like, I just definitely get the vibe Logan had done this before.
The cleanup crew was a little too efficient. You know, it was, I feel like Olivia Pope on Scandal take more time to clean up a murder. Like, his team was really just like, it's handled. And he just sent a text and like, it was like, boop. And then right after that, it was like a shroom. And they were like, we did it.
We did it. It's good. You might have to go see the family, be a little sad, but it's mostly taken care of. Don't worry about it, Ken. I do think it's interesting how people, the stands around this show, like I started watching it from the beginning. And I think during quarantine, that brought a lot of new viewers in who were like younger, who started engaging with the show as though it was like a fandom, who were truly like, that's my baby girl, Kenny girl. And oh my gosh, Kenny's baby boy. And oh my God, Kenny's going to be good. And it's like, no, that's a murderer. Like, he's not good at never. Like, he's the worst one. I truly believe that, like, he has convinced himself he didn't do that. Like, when he said it in that moment, he just was like, I am implanting this in my head. It never happened. I never did it. I was joking. The lie is the truth now. And then the Kendall fans are like, yes, never happened.
Like, the lie is the truth.
Yeah.
I think that's also because I love a Gen Z baby because now that I am a 30-year-old officially, all of that, I don't know what happened at my 30th birthday. Like, that wasn't this year, but my 30th birthday was really the moment where I was like, damn, like, life is terrible. Everybody's a monster and there's only so much I can do to help. Because when I was in college, I remember my first semester I came back from college, I was like, oh, y'all got everything wrong out here.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna fix the world and old people are fucked. And now I'm just like, old people are fucked, but we can't stop them. Like, unless we're gonna do a murder, unless we're actually gonna murder people, like we're kinda doomed.
The train's out of the station. Like, we just gotta kind of let them do their thing at this point.
Right, we gonna go on strike when we can. And that's why I always think all the haters out there, y'all should be looking at the WGA like my little Kenny Babel, my idols, because they're doing the thing that we all should be doing, and that's why we support it, because it's our only way outside of murdering people at the Hollywood studios to get what we want, what we deserve,
to get what we want
and what we need. It ain't even really a want for real at this point. It's like, I need to pay my bills, I need to keep the lights on, I need the computer to be on with Wi-Fi so I can write your fucking scripts.
And it's like, why are we still having this debate when we see the biggest show finale of the year and of the past few years is Succession, a show that is so well written that after the finale, the script books that they sell on Amazon, you can get each season the whole scripts with like scenes that weren't, you know, shown. It went number one. It's like it's a bestseller now. Like, it sold out like immediately after the episode because people love the show that much. They want to read the scripts.
Which is so wild.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to David Zaslav about it. They want to read the scripts and know what the writers have to say.
And tell me how many scripts of Fuckboy Island people are reading to get those outtakes of.
Okay, I mean, I would maybe do that for the first season.
I might actually do that. You're right.
I would probably
because that's also written by writers.
Yeah, there are writers. TV ain't real. And that show specifically was so just the writers being like, I don't know. We just got to get that guy back in the house. So let's just have him walk out of Fuckboy Exile and go back to the house. I don't know. We'll just make it make sense. It's fine.
That's fine. Oh, the viewers are expecting so little.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's because they're young and young people tend to like stand things super hard and make it their whole personality. And that's always what's something I talk about with scams. Like, don't make shit your personality, because when you receive new information, you won't be able to like process it because then it feels like it's an insult to yourself as a person, when in reality you could just be like, oh yeah, I used to fuck with them, now I don't because I learned new information.
Yeah, because they're a scammer. And I feel like the one person on the show who got that baby boy treatment even more than Ken was Roman, who everybody just thought like, oh, Roman's gonna get it together, he's such a little sweetie pie baby boy, oh poor Roman. And probably in these last two episodes, Roman has said some of the filthiest things I think his character has ever said. Like, just before the finale, he's like making jokes about sleeping with his sister. And then this week, he, in this final like blow up scene with the siblings, comes at Ken's children by saying that their dad never considered them real kids. They don't count because one was a buy-in and the other one is half Rava, half some filing cabinet guy, alluding to a sperm donor.
Yes. He called them randos.
Randos. Your kids are randos. Which adds some texture to it. If we remember, like, the first episode, Logan does throw a can at Kendall's son's head and then is like, stop crying about it. Like, stop being a little baby.
Also, Kendall, let's be so serious and for real. You kind of treat your kids like they randos.
Right? Like, Ken, you don't act like those kids know you. Like,
you don't know them either.
I don't remember any episodes where Ken was like, come on, kids, I want you to get to know your grandfather. Probably because he knew his dad hated those kids.
And his dad was a terrible person. I feel like I wouldn't introduce my kids to like, hey, y'all, even though Pop-Pop is a raging racist and he hates y'all, like, let's have a play date. It's like, maybe keep them away
keep
from
them
Pop-Pop.
Away. Okay, you know? And when Rava was like, they're not going to the funeral, I was like, Rava knows. Like, they know how he felt, and there's no reason for them to be there.
And Kendall only wanted them there for optics.
Yeah. Oh, it's always
he
about the optics.
He did not give a shit about them actually being there.
Kendall's just like, what shape does that make? What shape does that make if they're not there?
He was like, I'm going to file an injunction against you. And that was so goofy. And I love that
so
moment. Because he stood in front of the car like, well, I'm going to stand in front of the car. And then they just like slowly like ease out of the parking space. Like, they weren't even moving urgently.
No, they were just like, Kendall, you're never in a million years going to do anything that would harm your precious body. Like, no, you're a little baby. You're just going to move to the side. You know,
it felt like they were laughing at him. I felt like everybody in the car was laughing because that was the energy it was giving.
Yeah.
But you're right about Roman. Like, I even started to like be like, oh, Roman kind of cute again.
Right. Especially when he was with Jerry.
And I kind of loved that the last few episodes, they really gave him the worst things to say to remind us that like, this is a racist pervert.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a racist little nasty pervert who sends his dick to people and is weird and nasty.
And is weird
so like,
and nasty.
Don't forget. Because in the first episode, they established that all these people were horrible when they played that game with their like help staff.
Yeah.
And then ripped a checkup. Wasn't Roman the one who ripped
Roman's
the checkup
the
in front
who,
of their faces?
Yeah, rips the checkup and is just like, oh, sorry, buddy. Could have helped your family, but no.
I think that's a great example too, because they could have given them the money and it would have meant nothing. It wouldn't have been a drop
nothing
in the
them.
Bucket. And like, that was so clear with Connor, because Connor was literally throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at running for president.
Running for president. And then his speech giving up the election, where he was just like, conheads, I'm coming. People hate me because I'm a billionaire. I really wanted to see the numbers on that. I was like, are you a billionaire though, Con? Like, is that, you wasted so much money. I don't feel like you're still in the billion range.
I mean, I think he still has coins. I love Willa when Connor was like, I'm gonna throw another 100 mil at it. He was like, what do you think, Willa? And she was like, oh, well, yeah, that's a lot of money, but you would still be rich, right? Like,
yeah, like, but we'll still have money, right? We'll still have enough money for me to get my cow print couches.
That was the tacky-ass I want to see what the house looks like with Willa's decor.
Yes, I want to see Willa decorate that apartment. And I am upset we didn't get any sort of glimpse into it other than, oh yeah, I'm going to have a big cow print couch right here, and her getting rid of everything Logan owned. Like, if anyone did win, it's Willa. Willa, oh, yeah. Like, the people who are using this family, who married in for the money, they came out on top. Willa, Tom, they knew what was up.
Actually, everyone who married in,
yeah,
got theirs.
Got what they needed.
Yeah. I loved at the funeral that it was all of the wives, and Rogan just had a type. Because all of them were just like dark haired, olive skin, in their day, bad bitches.
Yeah, yeah. I did like, they all were like the same generation of like, or different generations of the same woman. And I absolutely loved that. That was like my power moment where I was like, you want to say secession is misogyny? All of Logan's exes and side pieces coming together. That's a girl power moment, okay?
Right. Like, that was truly the moment.
Yeah, and really, like, all the women in the show who were able to accept and actually, you know, hold accountable the evil that Logan and Waystar had, like Jerry. Jerry never tried to lie to herself about how evil Logan was.
Nope.
At the end of the day, what does Tom say? Jerry's not afraid of the dark. She can stay. Carolina, she's like, we got to get rid of this person. I want to do this. I want to do this.
Hugo out. And I want to get to that moment because that to me, telegraphs something that I want to know that if you agree.
Yeah, okay.
But before we go there, I saw a thread on Twitter because, you know, I always watch your TV threads. And back in the day when you used to, I know you don't do it anymore, but like, you would review shows. I would like read the reviews after I watched the episodes. So, but when you were talking about like the women standing up for themselves and how those were the only women that won, I feel like that's what people are ignoring when it comes to Siobhan, is that Siobhan sucked the biggest dick in the room too. And those women were so confident in their abilities because they knew that they were assets that they were like, you're not going to disrespect me. There's a moment where Logan is like having some weird, like, they're all in a room waiting for some kind of information or something. And he's like, somebody tell me a joke. Somebody tell me a joke. Yeah. And so he's pressuring all these men. Like, and they're like, oh, I'm not really a comedian. Da, da, da. All right, Jerry, tell me a joke. And she was like, this shit is horrible. And she just said it to his face. And he always hated that about her, which is why I think he wanted to fire her the day that he was died. Because, which, hey, karma. Yeah, because right. He was
fired
like, fuck
twice,
this bitch
Jerry made
that's
it.
So good at her job and won't let me abuse her. Because she should be letting me abuse her.
Yeah.
But she's also good at her job.
But
damn.
She's also good at her job. And it's like the same situation with Ebba, Carolina, where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we should just fire Ebba. We can't just fire Ebba. Like, she knows too much. She's good at her job. We need Ebba. She has the
And
insight.
It's that good at her job. Because when Shiv flips sides, when she realized Madsen had been playing her like a damn fiddle the whole time, Madsen's in the room screaming like, get on the phone. And then he's like, Ebba.
Yeah.
Like screaming for her like it's a streetcar named Desire. And
right.
It's like, you don't scream like that for somebody that you only have on the payroll because they could sue you.
Yeah.
That means that person is good
at
their
good
job.
At their job. Okay. He wasn't in need of a crisis and was like, oh, Shiv, what should I do? Shiv, what should I do? No, he was like, Shiv, you're too pushy. And Shiv is the one who's, even at her father's funeral, wanted to be like, he wasn't that bad, right? Tell me the truth. Was he really that bad, Frank and Carl? Was he really that bad? And it's like, girl, yes.
Yes, you know that.
You know, come on.
And she spoke at the funeral only because Kendall crushed it at the funeral. So she was like, wait, I'm trying to be CEO, so I got to get up here too.
Yeah.
My dad, he was a guy. It almost reminded me of the Jennifer Coolidge speech in The White Lotus. Like,
yes.
My mother. She got up there and did that. And we were like, girl, this was weird. You couldn't
say
that.
Yeah, this was weird. We see your
daddy
issues.
Also, you apologized when you got up there. Like, oh, it'll only take a second. I'm so sorry, guys. It's your fucking father's funeral. If you really going to be a boss, get your ass up there and speak. You didn't have to apologize.
Yeah. You don't need to be all like, we'll be done soon. It's your dad's funeral, Shiv. Enough with it, okay? Like, it almost came off weaker than Roman's just blatant crying and falling apart on the...
Because that made sense. He was overcome with grief and he gave himself the space to just act a fool.
To just
where
be
she was
like,
I'm so sorry, guys. Like, I don't want to take up too much space, but we'll be done soon.
I had to get up here and say, like, my dad couldn't fit a whole woman in his head. And all the women are like, yeah, we know. that's why we used him for money and just like got the fuck out of his way because he was a horrible person. And you were the one fighting to be in his head.
And I love the cutaway on that one because it was telegraphing. Like, y'all saying it ain't no feminist shit. But when she said that, oh, my dad did not fuck with bitches, they cut to
they
every
cut to
powerful
Jerry,
woman
Carolina.
Who was like, well, wake it up.
They all were like, and it's true. Even
Jerry was like, y'all happy he's dead, right? Like, we all happy?
I think even Carl was like, because Carl is so sassy. Carl is my little sassy boy. Okay, if there was someone that I babied, it was Carl, where I was just
woof,
like,
woof,
woof, woof. I wanted Carl to get his little golden parachute.
I actually do fuck with Carl. Yeah.
Carl is a sassy little bitch who had his one moment with the Living Plus thing where it was so clear Ken is lying about these numbers. And he's just like, if you fuck up my shit, I will ruin you. And that was all Carl needed the whole seat. Like, all he needed was that. And I was just like...
Carl would read you down, too. Remember when they were in that little huddle china plate room? Carl was like, y'all come in here and look at this china. And then Tom was like, I would like to put my bid in for CEO. And Carl looked at him and was like, you raggedy bitch. You ain't got nothing.
CEO? He's like, just theoretically, like, as a friend, let me just say that, like, no one likes you. Everyone thinks you're dumb.
He was like, as a friend.
Just as
say,
a buddy, I'm letting you know shit. That. Like, nobody thinks it's you, Tom.
And he was wrong, but I still love the because he said it to his face.
Yeah, he said it to his face. And Carl and Frank just being like, we should have slit his throat in the crib. I was like, mm-hmm. They knew. Like, they always, everybody always just overlooked Tom. Because
he was a worm. That's why he let Siobhan treat him like absolute dog shit. I don't think that was because he loved her. I think he was like genuinely like, I got to put up with this bitch till I can take all of her money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, there's no reason to put up with Shiv cheating on him after they, or I guess not cheating since, you know, they did talk about having an open marriage. So technically ethical, but just like bringing that up after the marriage and then hiding the fact that you're pregnant until like election night. When Tom was like, is this a move? I was on his side. I was like, she lies about, of course I would be suspicious of Shiv telling me this knowledge, like right here, right now. I was like, you've played my boy, Tom, too many times. No.
Like, you talk to him like dog, you're like, I'm better than you. I shouldn't even be with you. Yeah. I never loved you. You raggedy piece of shit.
Yeah,
like,
why would you talk to for you?
Anybody like that? Like, what is wrong with you, Shiv? Like, that's crazy.
And her dad always said, you're a coward for marrying him. Because I think he always knew it was just her trying to fill in that role that she thought would, like, make her dad accept her. That he could understand her as a woman if she was also a wife. And it was like, no.
No.
He's never going to care.
And also, again, Shiv, you are one of the densest people alive. Why do you think that any person... human being on the face of the planet would stay with your verbally abusive ass if it wasn't for the money, babes. If he didn't have a long game plan, nobody's putting up with that.
No. And you know
they don't love you.
They don't love you. And I hope Tom waits until the baby's born, gets a good divorce, maybe after his CEO gig, because then he ends up getting alimony. Like, if she makes more money, he'll get paid. Like, I think Tom could get full custody of this child, and he's getting the child support payments. Like, Tom, live off of this rich family the rest of your days. You did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, he did his big one.
Yeah.
Everyone who married in did their big one. That's why I feel bad for Bangs, because Bangs hadn't had her stuff written in stone yet, so she don't have to go back to her tiny apartment.
Do you think Logan really would have married Carrie? Because I think Carrie would have just been another Sally Ann, where it's like an affair. She's the side chick, but she's never the wife. Like, he married the Marcia Caroline types. Like, I don't think that was Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie didn't have an accent.
Yeah.
And notice that Marcia and Caroline, they had accents. And he always thought, like, oh, that's a bougier bitch because she got, you know, ties to royalty, or she's, you know, Spanish and she's, but is bougie. So, yeah. But she would have got a balloon package, though. I think she would have got her golden parachute.
Yeah, I think she would have gotten something, like an apartment at least. But I don't think she would have been on the floor picking up her loose items into a tote bag while Marcia calls her a taxi to the subway. It's one of my favorite things from this season.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Even Carrie did kind of come out on top. She was in the scene in this last episode where they're like putting stickers on different things. She's in the second tier bereavement group. So that's a say, you know?
They had them in coach. They had them in coach bereavement.
And I love that Carrie's just sitting in coach and like hearing them argue. And she's just like looking over like, I just really wanted something to remember the man I loved. And she did love him. I was always kind of like, okay, rich old man. But then when they showed that little video of him like recounting the presidential losers and Carrie like laying mm-hmm. all up on him, I was like, oh, she really was obsessed with this old guy. She really loved him.
Yeah, for me, it was when they were in the car on the way to the last scene where he's to that plane where he's eventually going to die on. And like he was on the phone with Roman and then hangs up and like Carrie like looks over to him very lovingly. And there's like no reason for her to perform, you know, romance with him in that moment. And I was like, oh, she really fucks with him because he wasn't looking at her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, she really had loved him.
Yeah, she really did. And at the end of the day, she probably got some of his china. So
I hope she at least did some kind of appraisal so she could come out with the most expensive items because they don't care about price.
They don't care
about
price.
They were just like sentimentality.
Yeah. I don't even think they cared about the stuff. Like they were just in there like, who gives a shit? Like whatever. Like they didn't even put stickers on things.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think they really put stickers on things. Like the only sticker I saw was Tom putting it on Greg. Like,
yeah, Tom putting it on Greg and
the kids were like, we don't care about this shit.
Yeah, they're just like, we don't care. Our dad hated us when he was alive. I don't need to be around the things that he had.
Carrie, I hope you took other people's stickers. I'd be like, let me hold yours then.
Let me just get in the first tier. Let me just get my man stuff. Like,
right. That they should at least give Carrie, like, give her a bigger tote bag this time.
Yeah.
And let her just fill it up.
And let her take the Uber all the way home. Let her take the all right to her front door. She deserves it, okay?
Marsha was wicked for that shit. And said, get her out the back.
Take her out the back. Oh my God. That was... Marsha is also my winner. Marsha, who came for the funeral, sold the apartment, got her money, and left again. That's my girl.
And haven't gone for 7 weeks. They were like, bitch, we ain't even seen your ass. And she was like, we have phone sex every night, so don't even give me that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
And
let me
like,
sell this apartment real quick.
Yeah, let me sell it, Connor.
63 mil.
Sounds like a deal. I'm out.
She probably would have sold it for 50, but she was like, Connor's bad with money. So she was like, 60 to 70?
60 to 70.
He was like, 63? He thought he was getting a good deal. Yeah, he didn't even appraise it.
No.
He didn't look it up.
No.
She definitely conned him. I bet you it was worth like 45, but she was like, Connor, dumbass. Yeah.
Connor's a dumbass, and he'll pay for the sentimentality. Oh, she milked him for sure. That's classic Marsha. She came out on top.
And I love that for her.
Yeah. I do want to know what you think of the final scene. So after Ken's outburst, he goes back, realizes he's lost, leaves the building. And I think we all felt this tension of like, oh no, he's going to take the elevator to the roof and jump. Oh no, he's going to like shoot his brains out. Oh no, he's going to like drown himself. He like goes to look at a pier and is just totally destroyed. And afterwards, Jeremy Strong said that they did a take where he was so wrapped up in the moment. He walked up to the side of the bridge or whatever, the like edge of the water, climbed over the railing, and the actor playing Colin had to walk over and be like, bro, don't do this. Had to be like, pull him back and be like, buddy, I'm not a real security guard, so I cannot save you. And you should not do this.
My guy, you're not jumping into the Hudson for Max.
For me. Yeah. Like,
this ain't even HBO Max.
It's not even HBO
anymore,
baby. It's Max, okay? You're not jumping into the Hudson.
Hop back over that rail, babes.
And so, you know, obviously people are like, Kendall kills himself. That's what a lot of people are assuming, that he does go, you know. I don't know how much we can believe Jeremy Strong's method acting. I think he's just the kind of actor who's like, I was feeling it. You know, that's Kendall's emotion. So I went there. And then the writers were probably like, that's not what we said.
They're like, we don't got permits for that. You try to get us sued.
We don't have the permits. We don't have this set up. There's no way we could redo the take. It's just not happening, Kendall.
You're going to get wet and then continuity is going to be fucked.
Yeah.
You know, also we'll have to call the Coast Guard. Just really don't.
We don't have the time. But did you feel like Kendall was going to kill himself in those like last few moments?
No. And I mean, because I saw Colin behind him, which I thought was such a great parallel to when the only person that Logan had was Colin. And he was like, you're my best friend. You're my number one guy. Colin was like, OK.
Yeah, he was like, OK.
I shouldn't be. That's really sad.
Yeah.
But
Colin did get a watch out of it.
But the thing about Jeremy's arc, and like people love to talk about the water, and I saw a lot of people talking about like, oh, well, the water is like his rebirth and da 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 da. And I don't think it's that.
No.
I think it's that Jeremy's relationship with the water is that he doesn't understand how powerful water is. So even though he was in the water where he saw water take another person's life and he just swam away like la la la, even though he could have helped that little waiter, right?
Yeah.
He didn't even see in that moment that the water can kill you. So even when he was floating on that little floaty thing with his beer and then fell asleep and almost drowned, he didn't realize that the water can kill you. He hopped his ass right back in the water in the middle of the fucking night to float on that damn door when they made him king. Bro, it's dark out here.
It's dark out here. The whole time I was like, they're about to turn around and be like, where'd Kendall go? Kendall, we don't see him. Where'd he go? And I was like, can he drown? He's gone.
Like, y'all are lit hopping in the dark ass ocean. You don't realize water can kill you.
That's rich people stuff. That's just rich. Yeah, the audacity of just being like, no, how would I drown? I can swim. I'm good.
The fact that everybody knew that his dad was hella dead on that plane.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, get the best doctors and get the let me talk to the pilot.
Yeah, let
like,
me talk to him.
He's we too rich for him to die. Yeah. Cause that's he don't have a regular body. He got a rich
he's
body.
A rich no, body.
That's not how bodies work.
We can't tell you the pilot's just being like, okay, well, do your best. Do your best. Yeah, that's all they're doing it. That's there's
and
no
he's
other situation.
Dead, babes.
He's dead.
You can't do chest compress. He ain't been breathing for a solid 25 minutes at this point. And do you know how oxygen works to the brain? Like, you need it. And if you don't get it for that long, you gone.
Tom putting the phones up to his ear. That was just being polite at that point. I was like, Tom, you know he did. Like,
I wanted to have a conspiracy theory that if Tom was the last person who saw him alive, like, Tom, did you kill him? Like, Tom, did you see him gasping for air and you just looked
and
at him
just
for a long time?
You just kind of looked at him for a long time. Took some of the chicken off of his, you know, first class
plate.
Like, is that what you did, Tom?
And then when you knew he was definitely dead, he was like, oh my God, y'all, I found him.
Yeah.
We got to do chest compressions.
Oh no.
Oh no. Y'all started doing chest. Y'all breathe in his mouth. I wonder. That's my conspiracy.
It was a weird energy on the plane. Like, Carrie was smiling all weird. Like, it was weird energy. I don't know.
Because I think she was really sad. But then I love that in that moment, who's getting it together? Like, the guys are like, oh, Frank's like, I'm gonna pour myself a drink. I want a scotch. Carolina's like, we have to figure out what we're gonna do when we land.
What are we gonna say? What's the PR here? And like,
because they were like, I guess we're off work. And she was like, we got a dead body on the plane, bro. Like, we're not.
Like, we've just started the busiest day of work ever. And Hugo is just like, oh, let's just let the kids speak. And Shiv gives that dumb little speech where she's like, we aren't taking any questions. And then she immediately takes a question.
Like, and that, babes, that's like what you said you weren't gonna do is take a question. And then you answered it terribly.
Terribly.
You could have been like, you know what? My dad had a strong foundation and company. There's so many people left to honor his legacy, and we're going to be stronger together and stronger,
than, stronger
ever.
Than ever.
That's how you take that kind of question and walk away. You was like, we're going to be there in whatever happens.
And whatever,
some
we'll
capacity.
Be involved. And it's like, that's why you're not CEO, Shiv.
Right.
That's why you're not CEO. I do also want to talk about the Greg of it all. How do you feel about Greg? He was always just kind of like a fun character to me, but didn't really care about his outcome, didn't really need him around.
Greg to me was more of a foil for Tom, because like that's how we saw the ugly parts of Tom, but that's also how we saw the kind of good parts of Tom because of how he treated Greg. So he would be like, Greg, you my little punching bag, you my little bitch, like go do my little dance, right?
Yeah.
But then he would be like, I'm gonna take care of you. And he told Greg he was gonna take care of him. And even though Greg leaked the information, you know, that almost fucked the deal, Tom was still like, you know what? You're still my little bitch and you're in my pocket more than ever now.
Yeah,
so
more than ever.
I'm gonna put
like,
my sticker on you.
Yep. I was like, come on, Greg. Like, you have to know that you are gonna owe him so big. Like, he is gonna have you doing all the shit jobs. Like, you are going to be the pain sponge's pain sponge. That's not a good place to be.
That's not a good place to be. You fought for a losing position. And then to find out that he was only making $200,000 a year, even though that was more money than his pay grade that he should have been making for the job, it's like, Greg, you gave up your inheritance to be a spineless worm for $200,000 a year. I know Ewan was gonna give you more than that.
$200,000. That's
Greg played it all wrong.
Greg played it wrong from the start. Greg should have just been hanging out with Ewan, but should have been at the funeral like, that was a really good speech, Grandpa. That was, you killed it. Oh my goodness. But no, he obviously wanted to be one of the Roy kids. And I think it was like, you could tell probably his whole life, he was like the outsider who wanted to be one of the quad siblings.
That quad shit.
The like, quad shit. I was just like, so you don't count Connor either, Greg? Like, you aren't the quad.
Because it would be a quint.
Yeah.
Because they already have a quad.
Because they have a quad. There's four of them. And Connor does have a board seat. Like, he cared about the deal too. So what are we doing here? I wish that we had seen Connor's reaction to the final board meeting and Tom ending up on top. He felt kind of disconnected from all of that.
I think that was on purpose though. Cause whenever they would talk about business, I noticed that through line where they'd be like, all right, get out, Connor. We're finna talk business.
Yeah.
And it's like, he has a seat on the board.
Like the one time is when they're just like, should we fold Connor in? And they're just like, ugh. And Connor says like, I will never be on your side. It's me and Dad.
He was like, oh, y'all plotting? I text Dad. He on the way.
Yeah, I told him to just come on down since y'all are being dumb, you know?
He was right. In a lot of ways, Connor, he was goofy, but even though he was unserious because he was just doing goofy ass shit, like when it came to the money and the company, Connor always was on the right side of like history.
He knew that like it wasn't meant for him. He wasn't trying to force his way into like CEO. It's like he got this early version of their dad where he was able to like cut himself off from it very early and just realize like, this will never be a family for me. This will never be love for me. Shout out to his amazing monologue this season too, where he was like, I'm just a rock that feeds off of nothing and no one loves me and that's fine.
He's not need no water.
I was like,
oh, that hurt me.
I was like, okay, Con, okay.
And he's like, look, I gotta cope. Nobody's ever gonna love me. Yep. Fine. I'm cool.
And whatever. I'm cool with that. And then the rest of the season is just his siblings calling him names and being so mean to him.
And he was never mean to people. Connor never called people names.
Connor
he was
like never the one called person on the show. Names.
Not calling someone a cunt bucket. Like, he was just chill.
Just chill and, like, was just like, my girl believes in me. I'm gonna listen to Willa. And sure, he was willing to go down with a fascist, but, you know?
So he was still a bad guy, but he was, like, the most chill bad guy.
Yeah, like, he was the one where you're like, he's one of those bad guys who, like, doesn't really have power. So you're, like, kind of like, okay, you know, what? You're like, the gonna get fired. Like, the first round of
layoffs.
That's
what I think of George W. Bush. I'm like, he seems so fun. Yeah, he did war crimes.
Yeah.
But he seems, like, such a fun guy.
But if you just focus on his paintings, like, so fun.
So and good.
I know Connor has like paintings or some sort of side hobby that he's just really into.
For sure.
Yeah.
Other than running for office with 1%.
With 1%.
I loved how serious he took that 1%. Yeah. He was going to throw 100 mil after keeping the 1%,
keep the
1%. Not getting more.
No, but you want to hold on to that 1%. Because less than, come on, that's embarrassing.
They're not going to take you seriously.
No, you need at least a one there.
I was cracking up. Wait, but I do have to ask you, because there's so much debate about this.
Yeah.
What do you think was the motive for Shiv's choice?
Ooh, this is the big one. I do not think she was doing it out of any sort of sacrificial, taking the, like, helping her brother's plan. Not at all. Like, a lot of people I know are saying, oh, she did this to sacrifice so her brother wouldn't become Logan and become evil. And so she did the right thing for them. No. Shiv realized there's this quote that Marcia says to Shiv that I think is season two, where she's like, you know, your dad built you guys a playground and you thought it was the whole world. And that's their problem. Like, that is Shiv. She just sees the playground her dad built as the world and the one place where she can reign supreme. And she looked at the situation and thought, would I rather be queen of the playground with Tom or would I rather be dirt under Kendall's shoe? Like, just 2 weeks ago, Kendall was straight up calling her dirt, cutting her out of deals. They said, oh, we'll make a space for you, sis. Don't worry. No, they did not. So she knew how it would turn out if she went with Kendall. And I think at the end of the day, she was like, I'm going to have a better placement and a seat being the CEO's wife than being just another person on Kendall's board.
I think you're right. And also, I saw so many traits of Logan in all of them, but none of them had all of the traits together. And I think that, like, when it comes to manipulation, because Logan told everybody they was going to get the company, honey. I feel like you could have been the janitor.
And he was like,
you want to be the CEO of Waystar Roco?
I'll give it to you.
Clean up this murder. Clean up this murder. You're going to be the CEO, okay? Thanks so much, Jim. So I think that Kendall had that aspect of the manipulation because remember, like, earlier in the season, he was like, it's the three of us. We're the block. We're solid. Then when they actually get some power, he's like, okay, Shiv, you ain't got no experience and you having a baby.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be the two of us, but it's still going to be three.
But
it's going to be two, but it's going to be three. Okay.
Yeah.
You hear me? do the math real quick. We're going to be in the other room talking. And then when he saw Roman have a weak point at the funeral because he was sad about his dad dying, he was like, man, you really blew that shit. So you can't be CEO no more because you was crying got you. They making gifts.
Yeah, they already making jokes about you. You got a name online. You're a meme. Sorry, buddy. You can't be CEO. It's not you.
Now it's just me. And I feel like Shiv changed her mind in exactly the thought process that you just explained about the dirt on his shoe or being, you know, the side chick, or not the side chick, but, you know, the wifey to the king.
Yeah.
When Kendall sat in Roy's seat and then put his feet on that motherfucking
on
desk.
On the desk. Oh.
And then offered Stewie a very specific job in her face.
After being like, oh, I don't know, Shiv, how we're going to make room for you. I don't know what the shape of that is. And then Stewie comes in and he's just like, whatever, buddy. You want a board seat? You want to be like CEO too? You want to like just hang out with me all day? We got it.
Stewie has less experience than Shiv at the company.
I still don't know what Stewie's real job is. Like, Stewie's just a rich man who does drugs and I love him.
Nobody knows what Stewie's job is, but somehow he has so much power. He's like Tommy.
Yeah.
He ain't got no job. He talks about his dad every now and then.
Yeah,
he's like, my dad's 95. I know yo's gonna die. Anyways, I'm finna do this smiley and kiss on these dudes, which I love.
I love that. Love that we got confirmation. Stewie bisexual king.
And also, like, the sexual chemistry between Kendall and Stewie, it felt like with Logan, we hiring his side women to get, you know, he'd be giving them a little employment. It felt like, Stewie, come over here and get a job so we can hang out.
Yeah. And obviously, Shiv was not going to play that. I think it was totally calculated. And also, I think it was let's remember, Shiv starts this episode thinking she won, goes to her brothers in her face, is like, I won. So just deal with it. So, of course, I think there's a level of like, well, if I can't win, none of us are going to win.
If your family's this awful, go off.
Go,
that's fun.
Like, I truly think at one point, like, even Roman was just like, okay, yeah, if I can't win, I'm not letting the guy who lied about murder win.
And that's also one of the cruxes of white supremacy. Like, poor white people vote against their best interests every single day because they don't want to see, you know, black and brown people or queer people benefit in the same way that they would. So they're like, I would rather die. Yep. Okay. And she was like, hey, girls, I would rather die. I'm going to be in this loveless marriage prison, locked to this man who hates me, who now has
such an ego. And I've spent our whole marriage telling him I'm better than him. And it's going to be great. Yeah. It's just going to be
great. I'm going to eat shit every single day for the rest of my life because that way we're all going to be sad.
Yeah.
Yay.
But hey, they all have the money from the Gojo deal. So at the end of the day, they're all still rich.
The saddest billionaires. But that just goes to show you that they don't give a shit about the money. Once you get to a certain point with money, it's like, it doesn't matter anymore because your bills are paid. Like, you're fed. You can go on trips. You can hop on a plane and go see your mama, like, in the Caribbean or wherever the fuck she was, like, real quick. You know, like, they didn't have to schedule a flight. Kendall just walked out of the office and was like, let me go hop on this plane.
Yeah, let me just go get on my private jet, go to the Barbados, go see my mom and her lover, Peter.
Also, love that the mom could never be good for a single moment. Yeah. Never had no food. For them.
Nope.
Talked about how she wanted the family to be together, but she really was just trying to sneak Peter in there.
Sales pitch. Kids, I just really think it would be great for us all to get together and process your father's death. Actually, it's a business pitch from my lover.
No, I would really love it if you all stayed for dinner and use Roman as a bargaining chip.
To get them there.
She was like, I'm taking care of him, so he's not leaving. So if you want to talk to him about business, like
you're gonna have
be
to
with the family.
Here. And he did tell me not to tell you, but I'm telling you because I need you all three here to hear the business pitch, please. When they left her and like she's standing there with Peter and she says like, leave. And Peter's like, waste of time. That was my favorite representation of like how the Roy children appear to other people. Like, they truly are nothing. Even their mom and stepdad are just like, bye, like, get out of our lives, you worthless pieces of shit. Just beautiful.
Chef's kiss.
That we're coming up on the end of this. You have anything else you want to say about Secession?
I want to say this, and I've said this on my podcast. Secession is white empire. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, drip, drop, drip, drippity, drop.
Yeah.
Lucius Lyons, the company, who's going to get the company. And as much as I love it, and I think that Nicholas Britell's scoring really, really elevates the show, and they make meals of such small moments, which is really what gives you the humanity and the intensity. At the end of the day, it ain't that deep.
It's not. It really isn't.
They threw a bunch of like stock quotes at us and you know, investment banker knowledge and jargon that we don't know, which makes it seem elevated. But really, at the end of the day, it was the company.
The company.
Daddy, love me.
Yeah.
And that's Empire.
That is Empire. a wonderful show that I never finished. Maybe someday.
I could. It really went off the rails.
It went off the rails. When there was like a bomb and Lucius survived, that's when I was like, I'm done watching this.
For me, it was when Lucius went into a coma and then he woke up and he was nice because he couldn't remember anything.
Yes,
because
he couldn't. That's when it was. Yeah, he went into the coma because of the bomb. And then he woke up and was like, I'm just a nice guy now. I don't remember anything. I don't remember putting my gay son in a trash can. Oh, Empire. We're going to wrap up here. I do also want to give a shout out to the Barry finale. Barry also ended the same day as Secession. Yellow Jackets also ended. Yellow Jackets finale, did not like it. Everyone is angry on the internet about it. Go get angry with us on Twitter. Go read the articles. Really let us down. But we'll be back next season to watch the Yellow Jackets. And Barry ended for good with its fourth season. I loved this ending. I thought it made sense. It was what I wanted. Don't know if I love the steps they took to get there by jumping in time. We didn't get as much time with the characters as you want. You know, you want to spend time with Hank. You want to spend time with Fuchs. And instead, you know, we just jumped ahead to the end of the story. So, you know, if you want to tell me your thoughts about Barry, hit me up on Twitter. Send a message, go leave a voicemail. We have that too. Speakpipe.com/TVISay, I think. Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on Barry. Let me leave you with some homework. We have the Ted Lasso finale, which is now out. So if you're listening to this episode, go watch it. Lacey, do you watch Ted Lasso, Barry?
I don't. I have watched Barry, but I fell off a little bit. But what I saw the first two seasons, so I got to go back because I did love it.
It's worth finishing.
Now I can binge.
Yeah. Ted Lasso, the first season is worth watching. And, you know, we're going to do a deep dive into what happened with Ted Lasso, I think, because it's something to be studied, how a 30-minute sitcom that was very funny went to a one-hour dramedy that was just not good. So we're gonna get into Ted Lasso in the future. Also on your homework list, I Think You Should Leave. The whole new season is out now. We also have Hoarders back with a new season, so don't worry, Prestige TV is still here. Season 13 of Hoarders. Whew, and it's good, baby. It's good. I was up watching it last night. So we're back. And Below Deck Sailing Yacht is still going. We're going to have some special Pride Month content next week coming at you. So get ready for a lot of gay TV. I want to thank my guest, Lacey. Please listen to Scam Goddess wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. My social handles are D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey, on all platforms. And if you want to follow the podcast, because we're doing a live show June 22nd, and we're going to sell live streaming tickets. So if you can't make it, it's already sold out anyway. But if you can't make it, you can watch it on your computer laptops, girls. iCarly is out now. Yes. So if you got Paramount Plus, you can stream that. It's very fun and weird. We're just adult cartoons.
Paramount Plus, I just want to say, shout out, Paramount Plus has been killing that genre. They are like doing what the CW should have been doing with iCarly, School Spirits, and Rise of the Pink Ladies. I'm a big Paramount Plus fan. Got to put it out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for doing it. Again, just absolutely love you. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back next week for another episode.
TVISay with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TVISay with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Scott Sani, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TVISay. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon. And you can also find my full archive, ad-free episodes of TVISay over on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code TVISay, all one word, for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.